Who are you? What do you want to do and be in the finite amount of time we are each given on this planet Earth? These universal existential questions are at the heart of a new project by Brenda Ann Keneally, the award-winning photographer, Guggenheim Fellow, Pulitzer Prize nominee, and formerly incarcerated youth, who happened to grow up in Albany and Troy. WOOC correspondent Megan Marone sat down with Brenda to discuss her new project, Scrappin' in New York State. This is part two of an extended conversation with board members of a little creative class, Brenda's nonprofit youth arts and education organization.
Hi, I'm Brenda Ann Keneally. My current bio is headed by the line digital folk artist and current founder of A Little Creative Class, a nonprofit youth arts organization located here in beautiful Massbeth, Queens, with a counterpart in North Troy, New York. And this is the vice president of the aforementioned organization.
Hello, my name is Don Scheer. I'm vice president of A Little Creative Class, currently living in Miami, Florida, and I'm transposed here to beautiful Massbeth.
And we have another board member here, Simon.
Hello, my name's Simon. I'm a board member, mentor, resident son, and contributor.
Simon, Don, Brenda, could you all explain what A Little Creative Class is?
Well, it's a free creative residency or artist residency for what I call first generation creatives. I was born and grew up in Albany, New York, and parts of Troy, and no one in my family pursued a creative field. I was an artist. I kind of saved my life by reciting poetry in my head, and then through a bunch of hitchhiking adventures, eventually became a photographer. And as I lived in certain neighborhoods, particularly in Miami and Brooklyn, now Queens, they were changed from the times when I got there, living in these cheap places, to really meccas. And the change was usually brought about by people in the creative field. So it was no surprise when I learned that this was an actual term called the creative class. And I started looking into that more and realized that almost none of people that I grew up with or the young people who I had collaborated with in this documentary project, Upstate Girls, were really poised socially or emotionally to take advantage of kind of wider world that a life in the field of arts or science or online publishing or anything that comes under the heading of the creative class, just because it requires a bit of assumption of healthy self-entitlement and comfortability with the wider world that me, my brother, sister, and most of the kids I know, that wasn't really the way our families had raised us. We were taught to be practical, work hard, think totally inside the box. And this upbringing, it was very practical and necessary, however, completely at odds with the way people make money in today's idea-based economy, which is called the creative class. So I had this idea that creativity is almost a class privilege, the freedom to make mistakes and the self-possession that one needs to have the audacity to think that something that you would put forth into the world is going to be received, and then further to be received in a way that is economically and socially viable. And that's where gathering friends of mine with these amazing kind of eyes and lives where they could just see something in a different way than it was presented. Like my friend Don here was one of the original artists on South Beach, Florida, which you hear South Beach now, everybody has certain images of glamour and fashion. Well, when we lived there and I met Don in the late 80s, it was anything but. So maybe Don might want to talk a little bit about how he's seen creativity change places where he's lived and certainly his own life.
Well, I've always been a part of a neighborhood that's pretty much free to live in or more accessible for someone that creates to have a loft. And then it's always taken over by developers who sell the property and make a lot of profit. And the artists are forced to move across the river. It's certainly happened here in New York City, and it certainly happened in Miami.
And Simon, how are you involved in A Little Creative Class, not only as a board member, but also as an educator?
I think of myself as a testament to possibility and opportunity, as someone who was on the receiving end of so many opportunities and moments where I can change my life, you know, which often we don't see in the moment, but that you can look back on. And they are certainly palpable and tangible moments, especially for those who are coming from a long way. And by that, I mean, you know, coming from nothing, having big opportunities means a lot more. And so really, what I think is my most instrumental or most useful purpose in being a part of this is to be an encouraging force that shows that, yeah, opening yourself up to new experiences and thinking outside the box and kind of sticking it to the man or allowing yourself to join these ranks of people who are migrating from place to place and creating new economies and creating new cultures and communities. There's a way to play alongside and open up your own opportunities for your own communities where you come from and who you represent.
Can you talk about the metaphor for first-generation college students and the whole social acclimation?
I would just say that there are particular barriers and conversations and opportunities that need to come about in order for lasting change, I think, to take effect. And part of that is ensuring a quality education. And that, you know, phrase is thrown around a lot, but really what that means is having a college degree and being on the same competitive level in this field of competitive education that exists, being on the same level as everyone else and being able to speak on the same platform and being able to access the same language. And so I'm very interested in helping those for whom college has been nothing but a scene in a movie take advantage of and help become a practical reality that does fit within practical game plan for someone's family.
You know, we talk a lot about opportunity. We talk a lot about, like Simon said, go to college, get a good job. Those are just phrases. And the points that lead up to that and the stumbling blocks, I always think it's like there's that scene in the Bible where there's someone speaking in tongues and everyone of all different languages can understand it and it's with a single language. I think of these phrases that are sort of the pull yourself up by your bootstraps American dream phrases as like that in reverse. You know, go to college is like telling someone pre-map or GPS day, you know, to go across the country and they have, yes, they would like to be there, but they have no idea what the practical steps are. There's an assumption that everyone would know the language, just even the practical preparation that takes place all the way back, you know, probably in kindergarten, and families for whom that's a given and part of their culture and the landscape of their lives, it just begins effortlessly and it's assumed. And then once even those practical step-by-step hurdles are jumped, it's the same way for getting a job or any kind of achievement, kids that I know are just not emotionally prepared because it's overwhelming. And then it is like walking into a room where you hear all kinds of different languages spoken, and it's hard to even focus in on one. And so leaving your family for the first time, other people talking about vacations to places whose names you've never even heard or knew existed, certain kind of inside information that feels like you're trying to access a world that is completely foreign to you, yet it's not. And you're doing this all alone and all on your own. So there's tremendous supports. So lots of kids, even looking at the new businesses in downtown Troy, they're beautiful. Kids that I know say, oh, those rich people. They really don't even have a language for what separates them from the rest of the world, certainly the new economy. So it's just best to stay away and best to sort of internalize that that's not for me.
Let's get into what you guys actually do with young people.
Well, we have each student create a scrapbook about their beginning, their life, their family, where they come from. It's very emotional. We have therapists there to help counsel them. That's one reason I wanted to be involved. I think I enjoy counseling as much as an art teacher. We do teach them creative skills. That's where I come in, because my life has always been making things out of nothing and turning it into some income. So we try to inspire their creative interest and teach them the skills to actually sell their product. The scrapping is the beginning of it all.
That was WOOC correspondent Megan Marone in part two of an extended discussion with artist Brenda Ann Keneally in her new project with youth in Troy called Scrappin' in New York State. Please visit a littlecreativeclass.org for more information. Students from Troy's ALP School 12 will begin scrapbooking with Brenda and her team of mentors on February 26th, and they will be showcasing their work at the Rensselaer County Historical Society, film festivals, and the People's History Museum in summer 2018.